What business would you start if you knew that that business could not fail? What ministry would you start if you knew that that ministry would reach people all over the world? What invention would you do if you knew that when you put your hands to it, it would not fail, it would succeed, and it would cause you to be able to prosper in every area of your life? What new adventure would you step out into if you knew that when you stepped out into it, you would succeed? What new venture would that be? What would you be willing to do? What would you be willing to step out in? What would you be willing to say? Where would you be willing to go if you knew what you were about to do could not fail? For most people, they would say, man, if it was, I knew that I couldn't fail, then I would start this new business and this business would do this. Or if I knew that it would not fail, I would sell this product and it would make multiple millions of dollars and I'd be able to finance the kingdom all over the world. And some people say, man, if I had that one thing that would set me apart, that would cause me to triumph in every area of my life, I would feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, visit the sick and shut-in. What would you do if you knew what you were doing could not fail? Well, I want you to ponder on that for just a moment because that is exactly what we have been talking about over the last 4 weeks when we've been talking about the law of confession. When you're talking about the law of confession, when you're talking about putting the word of God in a situation, regardless of what that situation is, if you properly use the word of God in order every situation and circumstance in your life, you knew you could not fail, how often would you use it? How would you approach it? I mean, I find out, when we talked last week, we were talking about how you would have, you got to get an upgrade and you got to change the way that you're thinking and change the way words that you're saying, because all those things will determine the actions and decisions that you would make and which will ultimately create your future. And so many times, and I, myself included, I mean, man, I've been looking for this, and there used to be a song, looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love on too many faces, and you're looking everywhere, all over the place. I searched all over, I couldn't find it. I went high and low, I couldn't find it. I went north to south, east to west, and still couldn't find it. And it was as simple as asking the question, Father, what do you say concerning this situation? And if I was to get into this today, I'm going to share with you today on that one thing that you can do that will take you from where you are right now to where it is that the Father wants you to be. And when you hear it, you're going to say it can't be that simple. But I'm telling you, it's really that simple. And he says this, and we're going to start it out this way. You got to remember, we talked about how that if you're a new follower of Jesus, if you are in Christ Jesus, and according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. It says, therefore, if you are in Christ, if you are engrafted in the Messiah, you are a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral, and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. Now that is the first part that I need you to get a hold of. Most people say it, but very few people believe it. Do you know that one of the things that God says causes people to not to triumph, not to win, not to succeed, is they don't believe. They don't believe. And because they don't believe, they can't receive what it is that he has for him. Why is that? Because if you don't believe that what the word of God says about you is true, then you won't think about it long enough, meditate on it long enough to see how to apply it to your life. And if you don't meditate on it long enough to see how to apply it to your life, you will never do what the word says, so you can never get What God has already said is already made available to you. See, the thing is right here. See, I used to think that if I just heard the word, if I just heard it enough, if somebody just kept saying it to me over and over and over again, that would change my life. But what I found out very quickly, that you could have a lot of information, you could have a lot of emotions, but it's you can have information, you can have a whole lot of excitement about it, but if you don't have any implementation of that word in your life, nothing in your life will change. And I found out the secret sauce is you must believe it. You've got to believe it. I was talking to the Father, and I was like, Father, I see so many promises in your word, and I see so many things that your word says is already made available to us. Why is the church not walking in it if it's already made available to you? And his answer was so simple. It was so sweet. He says, because they don't believe it. I said, what? He says, because they don't believe it. He says, prime example, if you truly believe that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, then you will stop saying about yourself, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. You was once an old sinner, yet, but you have now been saved by grace. You can't say that I'm still an old sinner. You can't still be talking about, I still have that sin nature on the inside of me. Now, you might have thoughts. You may have moments where you feel, or you may have urges to do something that you used to do, but just because you have an urge to do it does not mean you still have the nature of sin abiding on the inside of you, because it says in God's word, he says, you are no longer a slave to sin. Though once you was a slave to sin, no longer are you a slave to sin. He says, you are dead to sin. He says that in Romans chapter 6. You are dead to sin, but alive unto righteousness, right standing, right position with God. How did you get that? Because he says the moment that you became engrafted in Christ, he says things passed away. That old sin nature passed away. Because what most people don't believe is when they get born again. That word born simply means to be regenerated. You know, regenerated again, which means you're born again. You're regenerated again from above. That's not a renovate. Renovate means to take something that is old and try to bring it into a newer state. But regenerate means that they take something and something becomes altogether new. When you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, he takes out that old sin nature. We call it the great exchange. He takes out that old sin nature. He puts the nature of God in the person of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, who dwells with you everywhere that you go. And because he dwells with you everywhere that you go, you have what we call the GPS, the God positioning system. Because what the Holy Spirit does is he leads you, he guides you into all the truth according to the word of God. He also will teach you in all things. He'll bring all things back to your remembrance, whatsoever the word Jesus has said unto you. And he will also show you those things which are to come. But if you don't believe it, you, even though he's on the inside of you, even though he's there trying to teach you, even though he's there trying to lead you, even though he's there trying to guide you, even though he's there trying to show you all these things that are to come, you won't receive it, not because it wasn't available to you, but simply because you wouldn't believe it. Prime example, if you go with me over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Well, before we jump there, let's do this. Now that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How did you receive that? You had to hear the word of God preached. When you heard the word of God preached that about Jesus, that you believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. You heard it You received it, you believed it, and as a result of you believing, what did you do? You made a decision to act out on what it is you heard, because this is, okay, you know what? I believe. You had to say it out. You had to confess it out of your mouth, what you believed in your heart. Man, I believe that. I believe that Jesus went to the cross for me. I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again on the third day for me. I believe that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. But if you don't make a decision to believe, you will never receive it, even though it was there for you over 2,000 years ago. It was already made available to you. But you had to make a decision to believe it. The moment you made a decision to believe it and you by faith received it, guess what else happened? You became a new creation. Now that you're a new creation, what do you have to do in order for you to walk in that abundant life? Jesus came, John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. But how do you get that kind of life? And you have got to, in order to receive it, you have to have that abundant life. You have to make some decisions. And one of the first decisions you have to make after you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have to make a decision to renew your mind by the Word of God. Why you say that? I'm sharing it with you. In accordance to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. What does that mean? It says, don't be conformed to this world. When you talk about world, you talk about this age. It's talking about don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. Who's saying this? This is Paul writing to the church at Romans. I'm reading out of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. From the Amplified Classic Version, it goes on and says, it says, don't be adapted or conformed to this world's external superficial customs, but be transformed. What word transform mean? Change, like the transformer, change. One minute they look like the car, the next minute they look like a robot. The next one minute he looks like an airplane, the next minute he looks like a robot. What he says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. Don't adapt yourself to this current age or this world's way of doing things, but be transformed. Transform where? Change in the entire, not part of, but entire renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you can prove who you, me, whoever else is in the body of Christ, can approve for ourselves what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for us. So if we want to understand what God's good, perfect, acceptable will for our lives in every area of our life, we have to first renew our mind by the Word of God. It's impossible for you to receive the things of God if you don't even know what's available to you. But when you come into it, you have to make a second decision. You have to make a decision to separate yourself from where you have been in order to step into the place you're at right now. A lot of times what happens is people come out of, they get born again. I'm saved. But even though that they're saved, even though their spirit man is brand new, because you are a three-part being, you are a spirit. You live in a physical body and you possess a soul. Now your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your filler, your chooser, and your thinker. So if you're going to be renewed, you got to be renewed in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, your filler, your chooser, your thinker. If you don't renew your mind, even though your spirit is brand new, you will go through hell on earth, even though all of heaven has already been made available to you. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is on the inside of you. But if you don't get the Word of God on the inside, so you can begin to renew your the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you respond to things, you will continue to make a lot of the same mistakes you made before, even though It's not the sin nature that's on the inside of you. What it is you have not upgraded your way of thinking. And because you have not upgraded your way of thinking, you're still trying to operate on an old operational system, even though you have been made brand new. In fact, it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, and this is where a lot of people have stumbled, because they have made a decision, you know, I'm receiving what it is Jesus did for me. I believe what it is he did for me. Okay. And then they got to make a decision to renew entirely their mind by the word of God. So now they have to make another decision to separate themselves from that old way of doing things and step into this new way of doing things in order to receive what it is God has to say. And it says this, and I want to read it from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And it says it this way. It says this. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Do not make mismated alliances with them or come under a different yoke with them, inconsistent with your faith. For what partnership have right living and right standing with God with iniquity and lawlessness? Or how can light have fellowship with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Belial, the devil? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? What agreement can there be between the temple of God and idols? For we are, if you're in the body of Christ, you are the temple of the living God. Even as God has said, I will dwell in and among them, and I will walk in them, with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So what is he telling you to do? Come out from among them. Come on, say that with me. Come out from among them. In other words, you have got to come out. You have got to separate yourself from the old in order for you to begin to walk in the new. Even if you renew your mind, when you begin to renew your mind by the word of God, what's going to happen is it's going to begin to change the way that you think. It's going to change the way that you see things. It's going to change the way you perceive things. And it's going to look a lot more different than it did before. And some of the things you used to do and the things you thought when it was cool to do, you're going to realize, man, that was crazy. What in the world was I thinking about? Why was I doing that? That makes no sense at all. But when you was blinded and you did not see the truth, you walked around in darkness. But thank God he sent his son Jesus that we might have life in abundance to the full until it overflows. So what did he say? He says, so come out from among unbelievers and sever yourself from them, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing. Then I will receive you kindly and treat you with favor, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I already know what you said. So does that mean I can't talk to my friend Bobby no more? Also, Becky and I can't talk no more? He didn't say that you can't ever. See, that's the difference between I can talk to somebody, but whether I fellowship with them all the time, hang out with them all the time, doing the same things I used to do before I gave my life to the Lord. See, what should happen is when you give your life to the Lord, when you truly surrender your life to the Lord, and you make him the Lord, the supreme in authority, then he gets the final say. His word is it becomes the final authority, or it should. And what happens is people sometimes pick and choose what scriptures they want to apply to their life. Man, that is probably one of the most dangerous things you could do, is try to pick and choose which ones you're going to apply to your life. Man, you either all in or you all out. There is no gray. There is no curve. There is, because this is the thing. As long as you got one foot in your old life and have a one foot in your, trying to have half a foot in your new life, you will always be prone to respond to things the same way you did before. Because remember, your spirit is brand new. Now the Holy Spirit is telling you the right way to go, but your nature, your mind, your mind, will, and emotions will try to pull you in a whole different direction that goes totally opposite to the word of God. Okay, I'm gonna give you another point. How, what, in order for you to walk in the newness of life, in order for you to walk in this brand new life, you have, but see, in order to renew, make a decision to renew your mind, you got to believe that renewing your mind will help you to understand God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for every area of your life. In order for you to make a decision to separate yourself from the old, in order for you to walk in the new, you have got to believe that in doing so, that God will be a father to you, and you will be a son with him, and you are a daughter with him, and he'll walk with you, and you'll be able to walk with him, and it will get you to where it is you're supposed to be and operate in the things that you're supposed to do. And in order for you to do this next part, where you have to be talking about the whole renewal of the mind, you have to believe that in doing all these things, there's an end result that's going to be working for your good. Because, ladies and gentlemen, even though I'm sharing it with you, even though I've been sharing it with you for the last 4 weeks, if you don't believe that the Word of God is the most important thing, that the Word of God is the most powerful thing, if you don't believe the Word of God is the answer to every situation, circumstance that you have in your life, and that He's placed His words in your mouth, and when you release those words will either create life or death. They will create blessings or cursings. His desire is you speak life. His desire is that you speak His word. And when you speak His word back to Him, He is authorized to bring that thing to pass. But you cannot speak back to God what you don't have on the inside of you. See, this is the thing. The word of God says in Jeremiah chapter 1 that God hastens or watches over His word to perform it. Did you hear that part? He watches over His word to perform it. It says in Isaiah 55, I believe it's verse 10, where it talks about how His word will not return to Him void, but it must accomplish that which it pleased and prosper in the things where to it is sent. It says His word won't return void. His word. So when you get His words on the inside of you, and you begin to say His words to that situation or circumstance, when you begin to say His words back to Him, it won't return to a void. It also says in Psalms 103 how angels, ministering angels, sent forth to minister for the heirs of salvation. What do? They hearken to the word of God. So when you minister, when you speak His word, they angels hearken to that word and go out to bring that thing to pass. Are you listening to me? But the only way it works is if you believe it. Because when you believe it, you will do it. And when you do it, you will receive what it is that that word has said. Next point is this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 talks about, it's going to sum up all the things we've been saying when it says this. Now that you're in Christ, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, so this is I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in His presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles do in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, emptiness of their souls, and in the futility of their minds. What is he telling them? Because you're now in the body, because you have now made Jesus the Lord of your life, because you have now made a decision to believe that Jesus died and was rose again on the third day for you, because you have accepted Him as Lord, he says, don't live like those who haven't made that decision. Those who haven't made Jesus Lord, those who have not received what it is He made available for them, those who have not made a decision to renew their mind. He said, don't live like them. Why? Because they're living in the vanity and emptiness of their souls, their mind, will, and emotions, and futility of their minds. This is the thing about it, why he says you got to separate. He said you got to separate from the one and separate yourself from this in order to walk in the new. This is what he goes on to say. He says, because their moral understanding, those who aren't with Christ, those who haven't made Jesus Lord, their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated and strange, self-banishing from the life of God. Now, it didn't say God banished them. They self-banished themselves from the life of God, with no share in it because of this reason, because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to the hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. What are they, in other words, they made a decision in their heart. I'm not trying to hear that. I don't believe that. I don't believe what it is that word says. I don't believe Jesus went to the cross for me. I don't believe that I need to follow the word of God. I don't believe that I have to live that life. So I'm gonna solo, YOLO. You only live once. So I'm gonna obey my thirst. I'm gonna do whatever feels good to me. That's what I'm gonna do. Because it goes on to say this, because of their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to be unbridled sensitivity, sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. In other words, because they do not have the God nature on the inside of them, because they still have the sin nature on the inside of them, not because the way out was not made, not because that was not made available, but simply because even though they heard it, even though the word was preached to them, they did not receive it because they did not believe it. He says, because this, he says, goes on and says, but you did not so learn Christ. He says, assuming that you have really heard him and being taught by him as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him, strip off. Now that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, now that you are a follower of Jesus, now that he's the Lord of your life, now that you've made a decision to renew your mind, now that you made a decision to separate yourself from the old, that you may be able to step into the new, now that you have made a decision because you believed what the word of God says, now you strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly. This is a word for you and I going into 2025. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and for you to put on the new nature, the regenerated self, that new nature that's on the inside of you, created in God's image, God's light, in true righteousness and true holiness. That's why it's imperative that you make this last decision. You got to make a decision to be a disciple. That's the one thing that Jesus told his apostles and disciples when before he went back to heaven. He says, you go. He gave them four assignments. He told them, number one, go. Because nobody's ever going to hear what, going to have an opportunity to believe any of this stuff if you don't go and tell them. And what he says, first, number one, you got to go. Number two, when you go, you got to make disciples of all nations. Now, a disciple simply means a student, a follower. So if you are in Christ now, you have to make a decision going into 2025. Hey, up to this point, I have not been a disciple. Up to this point, I did not renew my mind. Up to this point, I had not separated myself unequal. I was unequally yoked. I was tied up with things I shouldn't have been tied up with. This year, I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to separate myself from the old that I may be able to step into the new. And then you're going to make a decision. You're going to, those who are disciples, you're going to baptize. You're going to baptize and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to begin to teach. Teach what? To be taught. You're going to be teaching, and you're going to be taught to do what? Observe everything that Jesus has commanded you and I through the word. That's why it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we got to be diligent to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not be ashamed. We have got to rightly divide the word of truth. It's imperative that you rightly divide the word of truth. Even Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, when they went back to Jerusalem, which was according to their custom, when he was 12 years old, what happened? He went to the temple. The boy Jesus, not the man Jesus. You got to remember, Jesus, the man, was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. But between the time he was born and the time beginning, he started his ministry. What did Jesus have to do? Well, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 answers that question for us. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. What? He increased in wisdom. What wisdom? The wisdom of God. How did he do it? Through the word of God, through the scrolls, by going to the temple. Because you got to remember, one of the things that amazed the people and amazed his parents when they found him 3 days later, because he separated himself from them, is after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Jesus had become The boy Jesus was a student. The boy Jesus was a student. What did he have to do? He had to study the word, the scrolls. He had to study the things that were written. He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in knowledge. He had to grow in stature, and he had to grow in favor and understanding with God through the word of God. In order to do that, he had to believe that what the word said was true. In order for him to operate in it, in order for him to go back when his mom told him, "Hey, you need to come back with us." And he said, "Hey, I'm supposed to be about my father's business." She said, "Boy, you better come on." And what did he do? He returned with them because he believed what she said was true. When he heard a word from God and God says, "Say this," and Jesus turned around and said back to God what God said to him, and God done the works, he had to believe that what God said was true. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. This is that the gospel that the children of Israel heard. Remember, we talked about them a few weeks ago. You might want to go back. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message. How that the word that they heard, it did not. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. He says, a promise remains of the entering his rest. Let us fear any of you come up short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. Why was the word not profitable to those who heard it? Because they did not believe it. Because they did not believe it, they would not receive it. Why is it that you have people who are in your life and in my life, or family or friends or in the world, who, even though they've heard the gospel preach, it does not benefit them because they don't believe it? It does not benefit them because they won't receive it. And the same thing with you, and the same thing with I. As we go into 2025, we have to make a decision to, one, we constantly be renewing our mind by the word of God, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We have to, two, make a decision to separate ourselves from anything and anyone that will separate us from him. How do we do that? We have to allow the word of God to call things safe and call things out. So if there's people who you know aren't walking in the same way by which you're walking in, hey, I love you, God bless you, but we can still be acquaintances, but we can't hang out like we used to because we are like oil and water. We're going two totally different directions, and it does not mix. The other thing we got to make a decision to do is we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. What you believe, you will do. What you believe, you will step out into. What you believe, you will say. What you believe, you will think. What you believe, you will feel. And what you believe, you will operate in, because you know God cannot lie. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. His word doesn't return to him void, but it must accomplish that which we please and prosper in the things whereto it is sent. You must believe. And if you don't believe, it's impossible for you to receive. That is the missing ingredient for you walking in everything God has for you in your life. Now, again, like I said in the beginning, if you knew that what you would, if you was going to do, could not fail, what would it be that you would do? If you knew that when you studied the word and you found out what God's perfect will is about that word, and you did it because you believe it could not fail, what would it be you would do? On behalf of Pastor Juwen and the entire Faith Life Nation, I want to thank you for joining us, and we want to wish you a blessed and prosperous new year. God bless you. Bye-bye.